It says green. It must be good. Well, good morning to you all. How many of you feel like that you come to rob the church? We all wearing masks. I'm just wondering. You know, when it seems like nowadays, I did this the other day. I went into the bank and I said, used to be if you went into the bank and you wore a mask, they knew you were there to rob it. And I said, now you can't get in the bank unless you have a mask on. I said, I don't know where we're getting to in this country, but it's pretty sad. It's good to be with you all, and I appreciate the invitation to come and be able to speak with you and to present the Word of God. And truly, I pray that God will bless in all the efforts that we have with our messages, and that the Lord will guide and bless and protect. I do have my little bit of electronic media here so that if you see me reach down from time to time, it's just to change over notes and to make sure it's good. And more than anything, as we spend this time together, I want you all to not only think about what is being presented, but how that it might be a help and a blessing to you. So I'd like to begin, and yes, I do like interaction. You know, so if I ask you a question, you feel free to answer it. Go right on ahead. But that'll be all right, because everything that you read in the Bible, that gives you an understanding that it is real. But to begin with today, how many of you all feel like you have a very close relationship with God? How many of you feel that way? How many of you would like to see a closer relationship with God? All right. Now, I'll give you an example of what I mean by that, is that if we do something wrong, how many of us really believe or we're ready to go to God with that at that very moment and say, God, I have sinned? Or how many of you are kind of a, you know, you back off a little bit and say, well, you know, if I give it time, maybe God will be more forgiving. The reality is that the relationship we have with God needs to be nurtured quite literally every day. And what I mean by that is not only should we be reading His Word and connecting with the fellowship one with another, but also in our prayer time. Now, guys, let me just tell you this. I'm still a child. And that's the way I look at it. I know I am a child of the King, but I am still a child. And so that means I'm ever growing, I'm ever learning, and I'm ever expanding upon the things that I try to learn each and every day. I'll give you an example. If you will, take your Bibles, and where we're going to start from is the book of James. And we're going to go to chapter 5. And I really want to preach to you about prayer. I want to preach on what it means to pray and the value of prayer as we go in. And if I think that there's one thing that lacks in our country today, amongst Christendom as a whole, is we don't really know how to pray as we should. And I'll give you an example, and I appreciate you bearing with me. But in James chapter 5, we read this: Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now, I want you to think about the condition of this world which we live in, and also think about our own condition. Now, what I look at it as this, is that we see in our churches a real lack in youth. We see a real lack in teaching amongst many churches, and I'm not saying in every church. But it seems like that a lot of our churches have lost that relationship with God. Now, I'll give you a case in point. You know, many churches, they really want to teach on the Holy Spirit, or they're calling for the Holy Spirit. And as I listen to that, my first question is, do you know what the Holy Spirit's job is? You realize nowhere in the Scripture does it say that the Holy Spirit is to be edified. In fact, Jesus said this: when I leave, I will send you the Comforter, and His role will be to teach you of me. Now, here's what's interesting. When Jesus came to this earth, He came to teach or to do the will of the Father. So Jesus did not come to literally do his own work, but to do the work that the Father came. Case in point, what did Jesus do right before he went to the cross? He was found in Gethsemane, and he was praying to the Father, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy be done." Jesus came to this earth to do the will of the Father. Why did the Holy Spirit come? To do the will of the Son. So when you think about all of this, it should give us a greater understanding of the role and the responsibility that we have. So what is the responsibility of the Christian? And that is to do the will also of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst all that we speak to and to everybody. And it doesn't mean we have to get in their face, but we should be nurturing ourselves and preparing ourselves for the work that the Lord would have us to do. So today I really want to spend some time in prayer, and I'll explain to you why this means so much to you, and or it means so much to me, and see if we can't find the betterment for our lives before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, again, I want to thank you for today, and I thank you that you give us the opportunity to stand before you. And Lord, this message that you have before us today, let it be something that is very powerful and also be very strong. Lord, I know this, is that whether there are two or three gathered in your name, whether there's a great multitude that is gathered, Lord, we should rejoice in the opportunities that we have to present your word. I know this, Father, that it's a challenge. This day and age which we live in is such a great challenge because we don't have enough work that should be going on in our lives. We find that the government around us doesn't want us to assemble together and to teach and preach the Word of God. They don't want us to assemble together so that there might be a strength and unity that the church needs. It seems like, Father, that we have set the Word aside saying we already know the Word. And yet every day, Lord, we not only need you in our private time, but we need to share these things together. Praying, Father, for those that have already lost loved ones. We come in this morning and we hear how the dear sister just lost her mother and already the effect that it's having on her life. My own brother Greg and his family as they're dealing with the loss of little L. And yet, Father, all of these things can be helped when we are assembled together and when we nurture one another with as your scripture teaches us. Help us then, their Father, to take these things and to grow by them, and to grow up into them, Lord. Help us to be the perfect individual that you want for us to be. Let us be a church that is not afraid to stand, but always ready to work, Father, as you would see fit. And let us wait upon you, Father. Let us wait upon you for the message, for the word, and all that transpires. And help us, dear Father, to be more for you each and every day. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. So as we begin this morning, and again here in the book of James, I was studying one day, and this really began to come out in my mind. And in James chapter 5, once again, I'm going down to verse 16. And it says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And here's what I underlined in my Bible that meant so much to me. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, I've got news for you folks. I'm not righteous because, you know, I've been called to preach. I'm not righteous because I walk around with my fingers in the air going, "Oh, God bless you, God bless you." I'm righteous because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And every day, that's what we should rejoice over. You know, I love hearing a salvation message. In fact, I'll tell you this. I had someone ask me about it, and I said, every time I preach, I should preach the salvation of Christ. And I said, because I don't know who is listening that may not know Christ as their Savior. And so when we are assembled together, it should not be an offense to any one of us that we are presenting the final and the finished work of Christ. Remember, when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He completed the work. And then they said, "Well, why did it take 3 days?" Well, if you'll study the Word of God, you'll find why he was in the grave 3 days. He had something that he still had to do. And so because of that, there's so much that we learn and there's so much that we grow. And then the closer we get to God, the more we realize I'm nothing but bone and flesh, ready to hit the trail to be ashes again. But the reality is that I have a Christ that needs to be exalted because He's my Lord. And because of that, I need to draw ever closer to Him so I can be the man that He wants me to be. Now, folks, let me just tell you this. It encourages me when I hear someone say, I feel called to preach. A young man will come to me and they'll say, I feel called to preach. And I'm going, no, you don't want to go down that trail. And people say, well, why would you want to discourage somebody? Because if really God has called them to preach, they can't do anything but preach. But the reality is that it is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. It is the hardest thing you'll ever have to do, especially when you have such a desire and a labor of love over the things of God, and then at the same time, preach the Word of God and wonder if anybody's listened to you. But I got something that's even harder, and that's prayer. How many of you have ever bowed your head and found that your prayer was only going up about this high? And you wonder, why isn't my prayers reaching heaven? I got news for you. Do you know that even Daniel prayed, and after he prayed, his prayer was being hindered by Satan? Go read the book of Daniel. And it even says, Gabriel finally came to him and said, I am Gabriel, and I've been dispatched to tell you that there's a war going on in heaven over your prayer. So if you think that your prayers are not getting up high enough, who's warring against you? You see, we are living in a world that is already corrupt. And because of that corruption, we sometimes think, well, all I have to do is pray one time, that's the end of it. No, sometimes our prayers take that effectual, fervent prayer that needs to go in. So what does that mean? First of all, that word effectual. That word that you look at it means effective prayer. How many of us really have an effective prayer? Oh, God, just let me win the... Anybody want to buy me a lottery ticket? I will thank you for it, and if I win, I'll share some of it with you. But the reality is that, does that really meet the plan of God? You know, let's put it this way. I've had people say, oh, I just wish I was a millionaire. You already are. You already are. Your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your father has it all. And none of us have gone, it doesn't look like any of us have gone without food. I mean, I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, you know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. But he said, sometimes we've got a lot of cornbread and beans that we have to eat. If that's what God wants you to have, that's all you need. But let's go back to that word effectual. When it comes upon your heart, is it what God wants? Let me share a verse with you, and we'll come right back here. So hold your place there, and let's go back to the book of Psalms. I just finished reading the Psalms, and by God's grace, it was such a blessing to me. Go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. And this is a passage of Scripture that the more I read it, the more that I struggle over it. By the way, preaching should be struggling. Understanding God's Word should be a struggle. But in Psalms chapter 37, look what it says beginning of verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, how many of you have read verse 4 and it says, again what it says, delight thyself in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The desires of my heart is a nice Lamborghini. I really think I could do a great work with the Lord if I had a Lamborghini. Is that really what God wants for us to have our hearts committed to? But when you really think about it, committing your way unto the Lord means, Lord, I'm going to submit myself to You. And if I'm going to submit myself to You, a strange effect occurs. Now He's going to give you the desires of your heart that are in line with Him, not in the line with you. Because the fact of the matter is, our bodies, our flesh, can be very much deceived. I'll give you an example. How many of you young ladies remembered when you got ready to get, you were going to get married, "Oh Lord, don't come back until I get married"? Come on now. I know us men prayed that. But how many of us also did this? Oh Lord, you know, don't come back until at least I have children. Oh Lord, don't do this, don't do that unless... Listen, folks, we are flesh and bone. And so the reality is, we have to overcome that which is fleshly in order to be connected to the spiritual side of things. So I bring this up to you because I know my own self, what I want physically. But when I'm in line with the Lord, it's that much better. So let's go back over here and let's look at this same passage. So if I delight myself in the Lord, look at this again, we're back over in the book of James. Bring that verse over with me now. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, when I fall down upon my knees, or if I'm praying, my prayer ought to be, "Lord, help me to understand Your way. What do You want me to pray? Do You want me to pray for this, Lord?" You know, I've had so many people, they say, "Why didn't God answer my prayer so that my brother or my mother or my sister or relative, that they continue to live?" Do you realize that many times we try to pray against the will of God? What is it that you want, Lord? And I have so much, and I'm trying to learn about that. I mean, by God's grace, I've been preaching for over 30 years. Not a very long time, really. But in that amount of time, I wonder how many of the sermons I preached I buffaloed my way instead of saying, "Lord, what is it that You really want me to present?" So if there's someone that's ailing, should we not pray, "Lord, Thy will be done"? Thy will be done. Our family just went through the struggle as we prayed for little L, and over again we were praying, "Lord, let this baby live, let this baby live." And then when the child was taken, we began to weep, "Lord, why didn't it happen? I got more in store than You realize. I've got a greater plan that You can't even comprehend." Well, my dad, and you know, my dad passed away in 98. And I remember saying, "Lord, just let him live. Let him live." I wonder if my dad in his state was saying, "Lord, I'm ready to go home." Anybody that knew Charlie Prater knew that was exactly what he would say. "I'm ready to go." I'll tell you a story, and this has actually happened. A Jehovah Witness came up to my dad one time, and he's washing his van. And this man came up on the porch, he came up to where Dad was. He goes, "Sir, what are you thinking about?" He said, "I'm thinking about going home to be with my Lord, to be with my Savior." And that young man said, "Really? Tell me more." And Dad went over, and had that old rocking chair, that old glider, on the porch. And he sat down with that young man and began to present him Christ. And at the end, that little Jehovah Witness fellow looked at him and said, "You know, I was going to ask you to come go with me." He said, "I think I'll go with you." You see, where is your heart? Your heart ought to be connected to the Lord. And I got news for you, folks. I'm not always there. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? There's times that we're not as connected to the Lord as we say we are. But here we are again, the effectual fervent prayer. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart, the effectual. So the effectual really means the effective prayer. "Lord, Thy will be done." I'll give you a point. How many of y'all like the condition of our country right now? I don't. I don't like the path our country's going down. I don't like what's going on. It scares me half to death sometimes, physically speaking. I've heard so many people say, "Well, what we need in our country is great revival." You're absolutely right. It needs to begin right here. I need to want revival. How many of you have ever thought, well, here we go, we're going to have another revival service this week. I guess I got to be there every night. Now tell me that's really the right heart. The right heart says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Effectual. Fervent. Fervent means you don't give up. You don't give up. Have you ever worked on something and, boy, you're ready to give up, but you're not going to give up. You're just going to keep on going. Right now in Florida, my son Jeremy, and I'm living with Jeremy and his three sons. We have Theo, Caleb, and Gideon. Theo and Caleb are twin boys. And they've never really had to learn how to do outside work and farm work. And boy, they're embracing it. So the other day I said, well, guys, we're going to lay new water line. And thank God it was sand. Anyone ever dug through clay? Well, you know, right around here, it seems like you got rock and clay, and that's what our soil is made of. And those boys dug out a 100-foot line with no problem. And they were excited when their dad came home, when Jeremy came home. They said, look what we did, Dad. And I thought about that. And there was a couple of times when that Florida heat was coming down on top of them, and they were ready to quit. And I said, guys, we can't. We still got another 20 feet. Come on, guys, can't quit. We still got another 10 feet. We got to keep going. And when they were done, they had that beauty that was there. Man, they were excited because they had completed the task. You realize fervent means I'm not going to quit till I get an answer. And I'll give you the greatest example of it was when David was told by the prophet, your children are going to die beginning with your son. Beginning with this baby. What did David do? For 7 days, he went into his prayer chamber. Would not eat, would not drink, would not be disturbed. He was on his face before God praying for the child. That's fervency. It's not just a matter of bowing your head and saying, okay, Lord, well, I give it over to you. Amen. Sometimes that answer takes a lot harder and a lot longer. When we preach the Word of God, there ought to be that fervent prayer that says, Father, help me to understand your word. What is it that you want me to present? So you think about this. If somebody comes up to me and says, will you pray for me? Whatever I'm doing at that moment, I need to stop, drop, and pray. How many of us have ever told someone, okay, I'll pray for you, and we forget it? You know, the best time to say, okay, let's pray right now. I mean, if they have time to ask you to pray, we've got time right then to say, Lord, come here. Put your arm around them and pray. I wish I could say I've done that every time, but I know better. Sometimes I'll be in a rush and I'll start going away. The other day, I had a lady, she sat there and she was not feeling very well, and she said, I just don't know what to do. I said, well, come here. And I bowed my head with her, and this was at work, and I started praying for her. And people say, well, aren't you afraid of getting fired? Well, I could. But when people know your testimony, they know that you are a servant of Christ, they're apt to leave you alone, or you might start praying for them. Just a thought. But the reality is that fervency means your prayer needs are so strong that I take them to heart. Delight thyself and the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Man, I struggle over those verses. Am I truly committed to the Lord? I'm not asking you for a show of hands or whatever, but let me ask you this right now. How many of us, don't raise your hand, don't answer back, feel like you're truly committed to the Lord? How many of you struggle to read the Bible during the day? I committed myself this year that I'm going to read the Bible. You say, well, haven't you read it through before? Yeah, multiple times. But this year, I wanted to read it again. And so, praise God for electronics. How many of you all know Alexander Scorby? Everyone ever heard that? Lovely English voice. And he's got that, you know, sort of a bass baritone. And so I will listen to Alexander Scorby while I'm reading my Bible together, and I'm getting the best of both worlds. Someone who's got the OCD like a squirrel, a little bit ADHD, which is me, I need all the entertainment I can get. And so I'm watching this, and I'm reading this, and I'm listening to this, and I'm enjoying the reading. And what's funny is, there's something brand new that keeps coming up out of there. Never seen it before. How many times have I read the Scripture? And I see it again. You're going to appreciate this. And then I open up my Strong's Concordance. And every now and then, something, what does that word mean? How many of you have ever seen, out of the King James, you'll see a word and you go, well, what does that mean? Anyone else besides me? And you just read right over and say, well, I'll look that up later. No, I like stopping right there. And by the way, don't use Webster's Dictionary to get the answer, because your Bible wasn't written in the Webster's Dictionary. Go look at the Oxford. I say, look it up, the Old English in the Oxford, and then see if you can figure it out. I'll tell you, it's amazing. But you take that, I mean, just finished the book of Psalms. You know how many times Selah is written? What does Selah mean? I've got news for you. Most people don't know. Most can't agree. They wonder if it is an interlude, a song interlude of praise. We just don't really know. But it's there. So, I got news for you. Next time you see the word Selah, stop, drop, and pray. Help me to understand this, Lord, because there's something important here. That fervency means I am going to stick with it until I get an answer. Now, what we want? We have these beautiful young people that are with us today. My prayer is that God will bless you all in the days to come. May you be delivered from what we've already had to face. The struggles, the hardship. I really am sad that we are delivering to our young generation today the America that we're delivering. I really am. Dennis can tell you, when I was younger, we'd go out and play all night long. We never needed flashlight tag. We'd play tag in the dark. We didn't know that was dangerous. We weren't afraid to go outside at night. Now, every pedophile on the street you're worried about. Why is that so? Because we closed this book. We've not been on our knees. We're not as strong as we say we are. And when people say, well, will you pray for me? How many of us really know how to pray? That fervent prayer means it's a connected prayer. So before we move on, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And in Matthew, chapter 6, the Lord is not teaching the world. Get this now. How many of you have ever thought about Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was the what we call the Sermon on the Mount? The Lord was teaching the believers. He was teaching believers. He wasn't teaching everybody who wanted to come up and sit down. We don't know if it was just the 12 that were there or if there was another multitude. It just says there was a multitude. How many it was, we don't know. But while He is there, He teaches them, first of all, about the Beatitudes. And then He goes into other structures. But then when He gets into Matthew chapter 6, we are allowed to see this passage about prayer. And look what it says. Again, if you go down to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, or let's go back to verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. So before you hit your knee in prayer, how many of you already know the Father's listening? Come on, that's pretty funny. You know, I remember when my kids were little, they always wanted to interrupt me. Daddy, 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 Daddy. I wanted to change my name. My grandkids are the same way. I'll be sitting there and I'll be doing something. They'll want to interrupt. They want to know what Grandpa's doing. And it's so much fun. But you know what? I have a Father in heaven that's the same way. And He's already listening. We have quite a few older people here, and we've already had our children. How many of you know How many of you have ever had that time in your life where you knew what your children were going to ask before they asked you? How did you know? How did you know? Because you were watching them. You were observing them. The Lord knows, God knows, well, He's omnipotent. He knows, God's watching. How many of you realize that the Holy Spirit is with us right now? The Lord right now, and the Father watches over all. How many of you all know that right now? How many of you would now say, well, now the Lord knows my thoughts. Maybe I'd better get back on the straight and narrow. The Father already knows what you have need of before you pray. But still, we are to pray. Why? Because the Father can hold out just like we did. How many of you knew that your kids needed something, but you waited for them to come and ask you before you gave it to them? Maybe I'm the only stingy one amongst the bunch. But listen what the Lord said. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Not on earth, in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Four things to remember. Number one, when you pray, how are you coming in prayer? Well, Father, here's what I need. Wrong way to go it. If my kids came in and they were being that rude to me, well, you can just walk right on out the door and come back in and try that again. Kennedy, did you ever do that to your dad? He'd turn around and, yeah, Kennedy, she's a pretty smart girl. Hi, Daddy. Daddy, do you love me? Daddy, do you think I'm pretty? Daddy, what is it that, can I have this, Daddy?
Yeah, honey, whatever you want. With car, here's the keys. You're only 12, that's all right.
You know what I'm talking about, men. If your kids come in demanding, you better go back out and try that again. So why is it that we think we can come to our Father? Listen, if you're saved here today, is God not your Father? Is He your puppet? Is He a genie in which you can just rub a lamp and He's going to answer? No, we ought to come in with adoration. Oh, Father! Oh! Come in with trumpets and go back and read the Psalms again. Give Him the praise He deserves. Our Father which art in heaven. I mean, how do you think you're going to go into heaven after you die? Hey, Father, what's up? No, you're not going to be that way. You're going to come upon your face. I really believe that. We're going to come in humility. And let the Lord lift us up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's the beauty of it. So when we come into His presence, we're coming in humility. Very much like Esther when she came in before the king, and he had to hold out the royal scepter. We come before the throne, and we're in the presence of power and majesty. Come, son. Come, my daughter. I'm ready to hear you. Adoration. Then we have the C for confession. Lord, I am such a sinner. I know you are. My thoughts, Lord, deceive me. I know they do. I know all about you. Confession isn't one that I need to necessarily tell all of my dirty secrets to my friends. I can come before the Father and say, hear me out, Father. I am so stinking tired of who I am. I know so. And I will clean this up. But what is it that you want? And confession means that I'm getting myself right so I can talk to the Father. Then there's thanksgiving. You know, I think sometimes our prayers are not nearly as full of thanksgiving as they should be. What are you thankful for? Come on, how many of you are really thankful today? How many of you are thankful for that mask on your face? Well, I'm not. Thank God I'm preaching without a mask on. But that means that I'm now criminal number 995,000. But the reality is, folks, is that thanksgiving means I come before the Lord not worried about the earth, not worried about the lions in the lion's den, not worried about the fiery furnace. I'm before the Lord, and I am so thankful that I'm there. Give thanks to the Lord,
for He is good.
Oh, yeah. Let's give some thanksgiving to the Lord and enjoy that thanksgiving. Before we start asking supplication, before we start asking what we need or what we come to pray about, go read the Psalms, folks. Many of those are prayers. And how many times do we read what David wanted? Instead, we see David's confession. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Isn't that what we want? Create a joy in me so that salvation is a joy to me. That's what God wants. Come here, son. You ever just want to hug your child because you love them? Nothing special. Come here, I just want to hug you. And not worry about the three-pat rule. I'm done. No. Embrace them. So if you're going to be a fervent prayer warrior, you need to be an effective prayer warrior. And you need to be a righteous prayer warrior. Back over here in the book of James, it says, righteous man. Remember how I started off and I said, for us to pray, we have to have righteous. I'm not righteous because I belong to a church. I'm not righteous because I live a certain way. I'm not righteous because of something that I do. I'm righteous because Christ made me righteous. It says in the book of Romans that He is just and the justifier of them that believeth on Him. Do you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you really believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then your confidence is going to be in Him, not in this world. Man, I see all these signs all up and down the world that says, Trump, Trump, we've already got Trump 2024. If my confidence is in Donald Trump, I am in trouble. Because he's but a man. If my confidence was in King David and no one else, I was in trouble. Because David fell as well. My confidence is in the Lord who shall not and has never failed. Now, I'm not telling you how to vote or anything else. But I will tell you this, folks. You better be on your knees praying, God, lead me so I do what's right. And that's the confidence. Because if I know the righteousness of Christ, then the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, you know, if I turn around and I say, Lord, this is what I need, He'll bless. I'll conclude with a story. This really happened. I was a young preacher and I was heading down to central Kentucky, down around the Lexington area, to preach. And I had no money in my pocket. I mean, literally, I had the gas in my vehicle, and that's all I had. I had, remember that 87 Astro van? That's what I had. I'm leaving Wilmington, Ohio, and going all the way down there and then making my way back. And I got in the vehicle, and first thing I did is I drove down to my first preaching engagement, which was in the morning, and they didn't give me a love offering. I'm okay, well, what do I do? Do I keep going or do I stop? So I said, well, we're going to go on down. I said, they asked me to preach. They fed us great. I mean, it was a delicious meal that I enjoyed. And we had great fellowship. I got down to Lexington, and I'm calculating all the way how much gas I got to have. My credit cards are maxed out. I'm not getting back very easily. If I don't get a love offering, I'm not going to get anything. I'm driving all around Lexington, cannot find this place. I finally called the preacher, and he goes, oh, that's this Sunday? Well, we didn't know you were coming. Okay, Lord. I said, well, all right. I said, we'll make our way home. And I said, no, no, you're down here. We're going to have you preach. It was the worst sermon I have ever preached in my life. I mean, you ever have one of those sermons that went out about this far and it died? That's where mine went. It was just like that. And I thought, well, it's going to be a long walk home. And I make my way out to the van. No love offering or anything was offered. And by the way, I had just told my boys, my oldest son, Tony, I said, now, guys, don't ask anything for food because, you know, we have just enough gas to get back home. And if they don't give us a love offering. And by the way, when they gave love offerings, it was always a check. You ever try to cash a check? You know, unless you run it through your bank, not going to happen. And we finished shaking hands, and I'm walking out to the van. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I'm going to trust you to get home. And as I open up the door of the van, Brother, the treasurer, and he goes, I forgot to give you your love offering, and they gave it to me in cash. And I got in the van. I said, who's hungry? My oldest son said, can I have a bag of chips, Dad? I said, I didn't ask you if you wanted a bag of chips. I said, who's hungry? And the question was, well, did you get a love offering? I said, we got a Long John Silver's offering. Arr! But I never forgot to share that lesson with my kids. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I had enough money to put gas in my car, make it home, and rejoice with the Lord. How many of us now can say, I need a closer walk with Jesus? See what I'm saying? And if we embrace that, how much better it's going to be. Father, again, I want to thank you for this time that we've had together. May we learn more about prayer every day and walk in faithfulness ever before you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.